with us today. Again, we're in troublesome times with the coronavirus and everything that's going on. People are somewhat in a panic mode. A lot of the people you listen to on Facebook, they're somewhat arguing about whether we should assemble or not assemble, regardless of what the law is saying. But it is troublesome times. And I want to ask you, what is the first thing you do when you face times of trouble in your life? Because everybody reacts differently. Everybody is going to have problems from time to time, but now everybody has the problem with this pandemic. But not everybody tries to solve their problems in the same way. And I want to ask you, what is the best way? What is the best way to deal with the problems that we're facing in life? Well, I want to suggest to you that there's one person in the Bible that had more than his fair share of trouble, and that was King David. For example, when you think about his life, he was pursued by King Saul when David was anointed as king. Saul didn't want to accept it. He barely had escaped the assassination attempts on his life. He had to flee and he had to hide in caves from King Saul, whose sole mission was to kill David. And then at one time, his entire family had been kidnapped. And then his friends turned against him. And it doesn't stop there. You look at his family history and you have the shame of adultery and murder. His son raped his sister, David's son raped David's daughter. And another son murdered Amnon. And Absalom, his son, led a revolt. And then Absalom was killed. And the list can go on and on. But I think 10 points here about David is certainly enough for understand he was a man that had problems in his life. And yet somehow he survived them all and has come to be remembered in the Scriptures as a man after God's own heart. And how was he able to do this? How was David able to deal with all of the problems in his life and still be known by God as a man after God's own heart? Well, I believe we can find some of the answers when we consider what David did when he faced one of his most serious problems. And that problem we find recorded for us in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6. The text says, "Now it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag and burned it with fire." You'll remember this is the time that David is fleeing from Saul. And verse 2 says, "And taken the captive the women and those who were there, from small to great, they did not kill anyone but carried them away and went their way." So David and his men came to the city, and there it was, burned with fire, and their wives, their sons, and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voices and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the widow of Nabal the Carmelite, had been taken captive. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, and every man for his sons and his daughters. But David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. David was a troublesome man. Here he is. He's been anointed king by Samuel. God chose him. He's already been exalted as king, and Saul refuses to give up the throne. David has to flee. And he takes the men who are with him, and he goes to a city of the Philistines called Ziklag. Well, the Philistines are getting ready to go to war against Saul. David takes his men, they're going to go to war with the Philistines, and they refuse to allow him to help. So they send him home. Well, in the meantime, the city that he was living in with his families, they've been kidnapped. The city was attacked and taken captive. So we see here that the people were so distressed that they were willing to kill David. They wanted to stone him because of their grief. So I want to ask you a question. Based on David and other people, but especially David, what did David do in times of trouble? Well, our context here in 1 Samuel chapter 30 tells us that At this time, as it was stated, that David was living in Ziklag. He had fled King Saul, and he was now aligning himself as an ally to the Philistines. The Philistines, as I said, were preparing to go to war with Saul, and David and his men had gone to join the Philistines. But the Philistines didn't fully trust David. They thought that he might have been a wolf in sheep's clothing, so to speak, and he was going to come in and attack the Philistines from within while they were fighting Saul. So they wouldn't have him fight with them. They sent him back to Ziklag. So here we find, in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verses 1 through 6, that the town has been attacked. When David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, attacked Ziklag, and burned it with fire. We see that the women and children had been kidnapped. Not just the Philistine women and children, but David's men. Their wives and David's wives and children had been kidnapped. We see that in verses 2 through 5. And had taken captive the women and those who were there, from small to great. They did not kill anyone, but carried them away and went their way. Naturally, David is going to be distressed in all of this. But on top of this, the people were ready to kill him. Remember, the story is, not only did David lose his wives and children to the enemy, they were not only his wives kidnapped, but the rest of the people were ready to stone David because their wives and their families had been kidnapped. The people were ready to kill him because he wasn't there when he was needed. But then we finally need to notice verse 6. Now David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. Now David was greatly distressed, But again, notice, David strengthened himself in the Lord his God. What does David do when he's lost his family and his own life is threatened? In verse 6 there, what does he do? Well, the Scriptures tell us there at the end of verse 6 that he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. I want to suggest to you that when we face our times of trouble and trial, right now, we need to be strengthening ourselves in our Lord, in our God. David turned to God in the times of his trouble. And there probably wasn't a man more troubled in the Word of God than David at times. But the text says he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. This is what David did first. So many times today, especially right now with the pandemic, a lot of people put God last. They look to other sources of encouragement and look to the government. But we need to look to God. God is our source of strength and encouragement during times of trial. David here says, the text says, he strengthened himself in the Lord his God. That's who he turned to first. Now, the Bible's going to tell us in other places that David was a praying man. When he was about to go to war at times, the first thing he would do is pray to God. When he had times of trouble in his life, the first thing he would do is pray. Talk to God. Brethren, we need to be a country right now, a people that are hitting our knees in prayer, talking to God. So then his strength is received, and when he is able to deal with whatever the problem was before him, he could do so because he had strengthened himself in the Lord. Now I want to ask you, what does it mean to strengthen himself in the Lord his God? In an effort to answer this question, I have found it helpful to consider some of the Psalms that are written by David and some that are written during his troublesome times. So when we ask the question, how did David strengthen himself in the Lord? I believe that oftentimes he would write Psalms. He would write Psalms talking about his conversation with God, his prayer to God, asking God to deliver him. When he was being pursued by Saul, for example, he wrote Psalm 59. And here in Psalm 59, he says in the first four verses, "Deliver me from my enemies, O my God. Defend me from those who rise up against me. Deliver me from the workers of iniquity and save me from bloodthirsty men. For look, they lie in wait for my life. The mighty gather against me, not for my transgression nor for my sin, O Lord. They run and prepare themselves through no fault of mine. David was innocent. He had been chosen. He had been selected by God to be the next king of Israel. But Saul wouldn't have anything to do with it. Saul wanted to remain king. He would not give up the throne. So David, in being pursued by Saul, writes Psalm 59. And we see here in the first four verses that he's asking God to deliver him from his enemies. We need to ask God to deliver us. As children of God, that's the first thing we ought to do, is ask for God's protection when things are going bad in our lives. When David was imprisoned in Gath, he wrote Psalm 56. And here in Psalm 56, verses 1 and 2, the beginning verses of the psalm, he says, "Be merciful to me, O God, for man would swallow me up. Fighting all day, he oppresses me. My enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High." Now David again is asking God to deliver him, and he's asking God for comfort. But notice, he's praising God at the same time. "O Most High," he would say. But not only that, when he flees from Absalom, who revolted against David's throne, his son, he wrote the third psalm. And in verses 1 and 2, he says, "Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God." David is saying that that's what they're saying of him, and yet who does he turn to? He turns to God. Hiding in the wilderness of Judah. Again, when he was fleeing from Saul, he was hiding from Saul, and he writes the 63rd Psalm. And in the first few verses, he says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory, because your loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips." Realize David is fleeing for his life. He's having to hide because they are threatening to kill him. That's the standing order from Saul, is to kill David. And notice, he praises God. He praises God when all things are bad. Brethren, that should be our attitude. And also, when we consider how David strengthened himself, we learn from other psalms how he would do this as well, when he strengthened himself in the Lord. In Psalm 56, we learn that David would place his trust in God to help him. We see here in verses 3 and 4, "Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise His word. In God, I have put my trust. I will not fear. What can flesh do to me? What can man do to me?" David says, "I'm not afraid. I will put my trust in God." He goes on to say in verses 9 through 11, "When I cry out to you, then my enemies will turn back. This I know, because God is for me. In God I will praise His word. In the Lord I will praise His word. In God I have put my trust. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?" From the 59th Psalm, we learn that David was determined to continue praising God for the help that He had given him. We see in verses 16 and 17, "But I will sing of your power." Yes. "I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning, for you have been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises. For God is my defense My God of mercy. So we see here that David turns to God when things are bad. And that's where we ought to be turning today. From Psalm 63, we see that David overcame his problem of loneliness by seeking the Lord. We see here in verses 1 and 2, O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. When he was praising and praying, we look at the same psalm in verse 3 and 4. And he says, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. We also see from the same psalm that he meditated upon the Lord. In verses 5 through 7 here, he says, my soul shall be satisfied as with the marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, because you have been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of your wings, I will rejoice. Now, in each of these psalms, David is basically saying the same thing. In times of trouble, you put your trust in the Lord. Stay close to God through praising Him and praying to Him. And I believe if we do this, then you will be made strong as the Lord supports you. Another verse here is verse 8 of Psalm 63. From the New Living Translation, it reads this way, I cling to you. Your strong right hand holds me securely. And another translation says, I hold on to you for dear life, and you hold me steady as a post. We need to look to God in times of distress. We need to look to God when things are dark. We need to cling to God. We need to hold close to God because He's going to be what keeps us steady. Now, this is how David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God, and was able to face and overcome his problems with the help that the Lord gave him. Now, let's make some practical application. How about us today? In times of trouble, do we follow David's example? I want to consider a few thoughts along this line about us dealing with our problems today. As Christians, we face problems, and it's not just the coronavirus, but we face peer pressure from friends and from family sometimes. And there's a lot of brethren that are at odds right now on whether we should disobey the law of the land and assemble anyway. We face problems even as Christians. Some of these, as I said, are related to family. Some for personal reasons. Some don't want you to become a Christian, and yet some are going to fight you tooth and nail when you make that decision. Some of these problems are job-related. And that relates to financial security. You might face that as a problem. But in many cases, people try to tackle their problems on their own. They don't want God's help, or they want to use God as the break glass in case of emergency. They only want God in their life when they need Him. And it's sad to say that it seems to be that way with Christians as well. They want to try to deal with their problems without any outside help. They don't want God in their lives. They seem to leave God completely out of the picture, and sometimes they even forsake Him completely by no longer praising Him and praying to Him on a daily basis, by neglecting the assembling in which we gather to edify one another and worship God. The reasoning is often expressed this way. Let me get my life straight. Then I'll be able to serve and live for God. That's the attitude that people have when it comes to simple obedience, when trying to determine whether they're going to be a Christian or not. Let me get my life straight. Do you realize the chances of that ever happening is 50-50 at best? And you're just prolonging not obeying the Word of God. But we need to come to God first and then allow Him to help us with our problems. I'm talking to someone right now who's questioning obeying the gospel. And they're facing pressure from family. And you cannot force people to obey the gospel. It is a decision that they have to make on their own. And even in times of trouble, I can't force people to turn to God. It is a decision that you have to make as an individual. But I want to suggest to you that when we're dealing with our problems, God is angered when we try to solve problems without Him. We need to turn to God because that's what He wants from us. God considers such a person to be cursed. When you look at the Old Testament passages like Jeremiah 17, verses 5 through 8, thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Brethren, friends, we need to turn to God, especially when times are bad. We take for granted that He's going to be there. A good example of God's displeasure when His people fail to look to Him for strength is found in Isaiah. When attacked by Assyria, the Israelites placed their trust in Egypt. In Isaiah 30, beginning in verses 1 and 2, Isaiah says, "Woe to the rebellious children who devise plans, but not of my spirit, who walk to go down to Egypt and have not asked my advice." God was very displeased with His children. They were being attacked by Assyria, and the people of God now, who do they turn to instead of God? They turn to man. And it's rightly understanding why God would be upset. When you consider everything that He's done for them in delivering them from Egypt, bringing them into the promised land, and now that they're here and they're about to be attacked, they don't look to Him for guidance. Because of this, God promised to frustrate the efforts of Israel to solve her problems by herself. We notice the same chapter in verse 3. "Therefore the strength of Pharaoh shall be your shame, and trust in the shadow of Egypt shall be your humiliation." Peter says it this way, Isaiah 30 and verse 15, "For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved, in quietness and confidence shall be your strength." Even today, God wants us to put our trust in Him. We look at passages like James 4 and verse 8, where James says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." And Peter says it this way, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you." We need to look to God every day. The truth of the matter is this. It is not God helps those who helps themselves, but rather God helps those who trust in the Lord with all their heart and lean not to their own understanding. The proverb writer says this so plainly. And this is the passage I would always write in the front of my kids' Bibles when they would get one. And this comes from the easy-to-read version. It says, "Trust the Lord completely and don't depend on your own knowledge. With every step you take, think about what He wants, and He will help you go the right way." When we leave God out of the picture in solving problems, there's one thing that is certain. God leaves us to deal with those problems on our own and without His help. But another thing is possible. In an act of loving discipline, God might frustrate our efforts to solve our problems independent of His help. I mean, He certainly dealt with Israel that way. So as we close out this lesson, let us learn from one experienced in dealing with problems, David, that in times of trouble, we look to the Lord for our strength. We trust in the Lord and be steadfast in praising Him and praying to Him. We don't forsake Him. And we don't forsake the assembling of the saints when we can and draw near to Him. Let David say of himself what we need to know as well. Again, we go back to Psalm 63 and verse 8. My soul clings to You. Your right hand upholds me. We need to remember those who trust in God will find strength, deliverance, and true happiness. Now the question is this. Do you trust in the Lord, or do you trust in your own strength? I pray that during times of trial, temptation, and struggle, that you'll look to the Lord and let Him be your deliverance, especially if it pertains to the problem of the guilt of sin. Now again, we're at an empty auditorium today. But if you need us, if you have a need to be baptized, all you have to do is contact me or one of the members here. We will be more than happy to assist you. If you need anything else as well, please contact me or one of the elders here. Thank you for being with us.